For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's on us. Let's get it.
It's 9 o'clock.
It's time for more 92.9 The Game Tonight as we get you caught up with all things Atlanta sports and beyond.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now, here we are Thursday night, 9 o'clock. Tomorrow, Falcons on the field. And again, Saturday, second year high, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock for the open workout. It is free to go there in Buford to second year high to watch the Falcons work out. I do encourage you, if you're going to go on Saturday, to get there early. Again, I can't know. There's no head count here. There's no tickets sold. I just know that in the past, there's, a lot of excitement about the team for obvious reasons and a lot of interest. And in the past, when the Falcons have done stuff like this, we did one at, were you at the one Orin at Buford High? It was like 7 years ago.
No.
It was jammed. There must have been 7,000-8,000 people there. I mean, it was just jammed. So I don't know how big Second Year High's, you know, stadium is. That's another thing I don't know. So we'll see. Again, if you want to get a seat, you might want to get there early. Just probably wise to do that. But again, there may only be 500 people there, and you're going, why did I have to come early? I can't know this for fact. I'm just telling you what I know in the past, with the sense that I get. Like, for example, or if they had allowed fans this year, on a normal weekend at camp in Flowery Branch, what would you say, 2,000, 2,500 people, something like that?
What was it last year where they actually had to stop fans from coming in that one Saturday because
right.
The hill was so crowded?
Right. Yeah. It's somewhere around that, 2,500, you know, or so. You know, and it gets, you know, super crowded. Yeah, and that's, you know, this year I think it would have been packed too. It would have been out the door. Right? Don't you think?
Oh my gosh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I think too. I think it would have been out the door. I mean, to go see Penix, to go see Bijan, you know, and go see Kirk Cousins, yeah. I mean, Grady's back. I think it would have been out the door to see these guys this year. So, because the team does have, one of the other things this team does have, if you stop and think about, oh my gosh, we actually do, for the first time in a long time, because they've been around a couple of years, three, four in some cases, and Kirk Cousins is a star quarterback in the NFL. Michael Penix is a star draft pick. Grady Jarrett is a star defensive lineman. Drake London is a star. Bijan Robinson is a star. Kyle Pitts is a star. I mean, to Falcons fans, right? They're star players. They got a bunch of star players. Jesse Bates is a star. A.J. Terrell is a star. You know, Tyler Algier is a star. Now, there are other stars that you don't necessarily notice, like Chris Lindstrom, you know, because you don't notice interior offensive linemen that much. But they have a number of star players. And so, as a result, you know, there's a lot of excitement in the team. And so, I would imagine second year high is going to be fairly packed. Hey, one other quick NFL note. Mentioned that a week from tonight is the Hall of Fame game. You can pretty much bet that the Houston Texans are going to play C.J. Stroud one series and out, right? Will the Bears play Caleb Williams in the game? Matt Eberflus is like, I don't know. I mean, he just, you know, they've got to get him this whole, still working through his deal here. You know, a week from tonight, I mean, they may let him go in for a couple of plays. Like, all right, he's going to hand off here, and in the second play, he's going to throw a bubble screen, and he's out of the game. That may be it. You know, we're just putting him on the field because we feel like we have to. Now, he's going to obviously play a lot in the preseason because, unlike Penix, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, he may play less. Look, I don't know that J.J. McCarthy will start in Minnesota. He may not. But he's going to play. He's going to get a chance. He may get a chance this year to start. The Falcons aren't, you know, they're going to play Penix, obviously, a ton in preseason. And certainly Bo Nix is going to play a lot. So all these quarterbacks are going to get a lot of run in preseason ball. And Caleb Williams is going to play a lot. Because unlike Penix, he's starting, you know. And so they got to get him really up to speed with everything that's going on with that team there. I wanted to ask you, Oren, and you could jump in anytime you want, 404-726-0929, about some of the teams. As I haven't written my preseason yet, I wanted to see how camp kind of looked a little bit, my preseason predictions for the NFL. I'll do that prior to the opening game. If I'm sitting here today, and Oren, ask me, who do I have in the Super Bowl?
John Fricke, who do you have in this year's Super Bowl?
As I'm sitting here today, I'm going to tell you, I think the Baltimore Ravens are the best team in the NFL, and I think the Lions kind of shot themselves in the foot, but I think the Lions are the best team in the NFC. So I'm going to go Ravens-Lions. I think the
Lions, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they win the Super Bowl last year if they don't gag the way they did. So I expect them fully to be back. Plus, I think I look in their division, and I know I'm going to make some Packers fans mad here. The Lions are clearly the best team in their division, okay? Clearly the best team. I don't know what to expect out of Minnesota without Cousins. I think the Bears are on the come up here, but you're talking about a rookie quarterback, and that may take a little while. I know Bears fans want to believe they can make a huge, gigantic jump, and they're all excited, and I understand that. But just generally speaking, that doesn't necessarily happen. It could, I mean, I guess, but it doesn't necessarily happen. And then, of course, I don't know what to make of the Vikings at all. I mean, I like Kevin O'Connell quite a bit. If I have to pick somebody to finish last in that division, it might be the Vikings. So, and I know Vikings fans out there are saying, what are you talking about? I'm just saying, well, are you better than the Bears? Yeah. Oh, are you really? You're not better than the Packers, and you're nowhere in the universe of the Lions. So, but there are a lot of teams that I have questions about. Cowboys are one of them. Saints are another team that I have questions about. I look at the players, Oren, that are going to be available at the top of the draft, the quarterbacks that are coming out this year. And there's a list of them, right? They're the obvious names at the moment. But there will be others that kind of rise up, so to speak, use the Falcons phrase, and acquit themselves. You know, Dylan Gabriel, does he shoot to the number one pick? You know, does he win the Heisman at Oregon and overtake Carson Beck and Shedeur Sanders? You know, how good a year does Quinn Ewers have at Texas? Does he shoot up to the number one spot? There are going to be a lot of quarterbacks that are going to be – there's going to be another year next year where you have 5 to 6 quarterbacks who could go really high in the first round. Unfortunately, there are not a lot of teams at the moment that seem to need quarterbacks that high. But they may be forced to take them. Because in the list of teams that I have serious question marks about this year, I'll give you a few and you tell me if I'm wrong. All I'm asking you, Oren, is this. Am I right to have question marks, when I say question marks, to wonder if they're even going to be a 500 team, okay? That they're going to be floating at 500 or below, okay? These are good teams that are, I don't know, that they're going to get to 500, all right? Should I have question marks about the Browns?
Yes.
Deshaun's banged up. Nick Chubb's on the pup list.
Yeah, Chubb, they saw today. They have no timeline for his return yet.
Deshaun was awful last year.
Yeah, he was.
Awful. Awful. He couldn't throw the ball in the vicinity of anybody. God, did we dodge a bullet with that thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're in a division where they're clearly the worst team in the division. The Bills. I got questions about the Bills. I don't really know where they fall.
The Bills have gotten close, but can they, with one of those teams, can they actually seal the deal, so to speak?
Yeah, I'm wondering if they haven't passed their peak.
Josh is still there. And again, Josh is still good.
And look, I understand he's good. But I also look at the Jets as having a deeper, more talented team, and if Aaron Rodgers has anything left in the
team. Well, it all depends on those. Like, everything is sort of dependent on what happens with Aaron there. So.
Yeah, see, there's another division that could go sideways. Everybody says the NFC South is the worst. I look at that AFC East and go, what's going to happen with Tua? You know, I mean, he's obviously grumbling. You know, he wants money. Yeah. And the Dolphins are hesitant to pay it to him because they're really afraid of paying him any guaranteed cash considering his injury history. They're worried about that. And the Dolphins are starting. I think the Dolphins are starting to plan that what could we be in the quarterback drafting business next year? And they may be. They may feel like they have to be. And then, of course, how's Drake May going to work out with the Patriots? I don't know. He's a rook, right? That I don't know. The Bills could win that division, but the Bills could win a division that looks a lot like the NFC South did last year. Suddenly, they're 9-8 in division champions, right? The Chargers. Everybody's in love with this. Oh, the Chargers have some new facilities. They got new digs. They got the Jim Harbaugh thing going. They got Justin Herbert. I'm looking at the Chargers going, yeah, but they're still the Chargers. You know, you want to give me like more than two reasons that I got to believe that they're going to do anything? Because there's another division that outside of the Kansas City Chiefs, I think is a bad division. That now, thankfully for them, they have the Kansas City Chiefs. The Broncos? You telling me Bo Nix is going to do something?
And oh, that would be amazing.
I got to tell you, I think the Raiders are the worst team in the NFL.
The Raiders?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
I think they have the worst starting quarterback in the NFL.
Okay.
I think the Raiders, that franchise has not, they haven't gotten it right yet. That's a franchise that needs a new general manager, a new head coach, and maybe a new owner.
Just everything.
You know, maybe it's just time.
Everything.
Yeah, everything. Yeah, new everything. They need to go full Glitz Las Vegas, and Mark Davis sells that team. You get a new GM, you get a new head coach, you know, you do something because they're going nowhere fast. And I got Raiders fans that are on my timeline saying, oh, we're going to be pretty good. I'm like, really? Because I think you might be the worst team in the NFL. I think you could be 3-14. I mean, you're really, you know, I mean, you had the whole incident where, you know, your star running back decided to go 600 miles an hour in a car, and we all know that was really sad. But it's just gone squirrely for them, and they have no – that's a team that like, – well, who's your quarterback? Aiden O'Connell. Aiden O'Connell. AOC. AOC is your quarterback. Good luck with that. He's your starting – good luck with that. Because I'm sure Aiden's a nice guy. He was okay at Purdue. He was like the eighth best quarterback in the Big Ten at Purdue. Okay? You got the eighth best quarterback in the Big Ten starting for you. Yeah, it's really not a recipe for success. Because if the Chargers are better than you, and they are, and the Broncos are better than you, and they might be, because both have better quarterbacks. Obviously, the Chargers have a far better quarterback. Who knows? The Bo Nix isn't going to be better than Aiden O'Connell. Oh, I do. I do. I do. John does. Yeah, he's going to be better than Aiden O'Connell. And Sean Payton's a better head coach. So you got better head coaches. You got Andy Reid. You got Jim Harbaugh and Sean Payton. And you got the Raiders. Okay. Good luck to you. That is screaming 0-6 in the division to me for the Raiders. So there's some teams I just don't know. Another team I don't know about this year that I've been trying to figure out is the Jaguars. Are the Jaguars going to push the Texans in the South? Or, I mean, I think they've got some talent. They've got to sign some guys. And I know Trevor Lawrence is pushing for that to happen. But I don't really know. Are they better than the Colts? The Titans are gone. By the way, the Titans could be. Want to talk about another team that could be bad this year? Tennessee Titans. They could be bad.
You're not buying Will Levis and company?
No. No, I look at some teams and think, who's the number one pick going to come down to? Carolina,
no, Calvin
Raiders.
Ridley there. Calvin Ridley and L'Jarius Sneed.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Okay.
Two
what are they going
in
the division? 1-5
What's that?
Are they 1-5 Are they going 1-5 in that division?
Are they
Would would you consider 2-4 a win?
I mean, based on how weak that division is,
I think Indianapolis might be a surprise team. I've got Indianapolis on the other side of things. I think Indianapolis could be a surprise team.
Yeah, it just depends on, too. The same thing with the quarterback is Anthony Richardson.
Well, he's healthy.
They say he's healthy.
He's out there throwing.
They limited his throwing during OTA. So, and he's not gonna tone down the way he plays either. So, Trevor regressed last year.
Yeah, no, I know.
Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, I get it. I know.
I'm not sitting here trying to blow smoke up your skirt. I mean, the Texans can run away with that division.
Well, the Texans are clearly the best team in the division. And really, the only team that can really challenge them in the division might be the Jaguars if the Jaguars get it together.
I don't know if the Jaguars are going to get it together.
Well, I'm not arguing your point here. I think it stacks up pretty clearly that the Jaguars and the Colts are fighting for second in that division. The Titans are last. But I don't know that the Colts could take a leap to catch the Texans. Look, the Texans, that's a team nobody's talking about that could, you know. Look, this is why sucking sometimes is a good thing, because they sucked for so long, they've had a lot of top draft picks,
and
suddenly they look around and go, "Hey, we got a lot of talent on this team."
The fact too, they were able to get Stephon Diggs and Danielle Hunter to kind of come below. Well, Stephon Diggs is basically playing for his next contract this year, and he's okay with that. He came there knowing he was getting a long term deal.
Right, exactly. So everything I just said. What is the best NFL team in Texas? What's the name of the best NFL team in Texas?
The Texans.
Ah, thank you. See, Cowboys fans, you're not the best team in your own state. What? No, I'm telling you, you're not the best team in your own state. And if you don't realize that, well, you're about to. Quick break as we continue on 90-9 The Game tonight. It's a Falcons camp kind of night on Sports Radio 90-9 The Game. From the Northern Kia Studios, John Frickie with you on this Thursday night. I'll be back this weekend, 10 to noon, taking you through as we get complete coverage of Atlanta Falcons training camp, including coverage of the Saturday night affair at Secunder High in Buford here. All of our shows will be live from Flowery Branch, in and around Flowery Branch tomorrow, as we get caught up on what's going on, very latest on the Atlanta Falcons, right here on your home of the Falcons. So do bookmark our Facebook page, 99 The Game, our X, 99 The Game, at 99 The Game, our Insta, and certainly our website, 99thegame.com, because all this stuff gets posted up, and follow all our reporters like Joe Patrick, for example. And you can follow me at John Fricke, JohnFricke, if you want, and be part of the coverage of the Atlanta Falcons 2024 training camp out at the IBM Performance Facility. So now we'll see what we got going on here. Well, on Saturday night when we get our first look at him. I'm fascinated for this preseason. I can't wait for it to happen. I'll be really intrigued by what this Falcons team is going to look like. As we were talking about some of the teams I have question marks about, they're going to be Oren. They're going to be teams this year as we break camp that we know are going to be surprise teams, right? I mean, they're just kind of – we know who the really good teams are. The 49ers,
they're
the Chiefs, the Lions, the Ravens, right? Okay. Yeah. The Texans, we expect, are going to be an up-and-coming team, right? I mean, so there are teams – like, and there are questions about – I'll give you another team that I've got questions about. Which way are the Dolphins headed? A couple of years ago, they were – that trend line was up. Right now, there's like, okay, are you going to win the division? Because if Tua does well, there's no reason the Dolphins shouldn't win the AFC East this year. I think the Bills are past prime. I think you're looking at a Jets team with Aaron Rodgers that could probably be – look, it could be pretty close between those three, all right, taking the Patriots out of it. But you're talking like 10-9-8 kind of deal. And you just have to be the 10. You got to be the 10-7 team. If you get to 11-6, then you win that division by a couple of games. And so can the Dolphins do that? There's always going to be a couple of surprise teams, but I've been kind of racking my brain thinking, I want to be sure that I'm clear with my thinking here and not being, you know, jaded by my biases, Oren. But I look around and I go, okay, who could be a surprise team in the NFL? And I know everybody wants to I know I can hear all of you wanting to raise your hand. You know, Joe Burrow's back. Okay, that's fine. I mean, yeah, sure, Cincinnati could be a surprise team, I guess. I mean, they've already been there. How much of a surprise it would be if Joe Burrow was healthy, had a huge year, wouldn't really be a surprise. I got to tell you, I think the Falcons are the surprise team, Oren. I think we're the surprise team. I can't think of anybody else who would be more. Who would be more of a surprise to win 11 or 12 games than the Falcons?
Would we, based on who we got in the season, I think a surprise teams are the ones that maybe they didn't make the most sort of, like the biggest free agent move. And I think the Falcons, I don't know if getting Kirk Cousins qualifies them for being a surprise team in the NFL. Because if they don't end up winning the NFC South, it's going to be considered a disappointment. That makes sense? Because if you go out and get Cousins.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. But at the same time, you know, for a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 6 years, seven months and 11 days, not that I'm keeping track, and that was the last playoff game, 6 years, 7 months and 11 days ago. I just think that, you know, when it's been that long and you got a new head coach and new schemes and new players, I don't know what the national media isn't expecting much out of the Falcons. That's for sure. They're not expecting much out of this team. Are they?
Well, it depends on what you mean by
a surprise team. Well, I guess, do they even think they're going to win the division?
I think that getting Kirk Cousins puts the Falcons in a different sort of stratosphere than where they were last year. I think that offensively what they've done in the draft combined with Kirk Cousins, prognosticators and analysts and all the people who do the other sports talk stuff for a living, I think that they see the Falcons as a 9-10 win team and a NFC South champion this year. That's what's hard for the surprise. Like the surprise for me, John, would be if they don't win the South. That's the surprise part for me.
For what reason? I mean, if they get, you know, like the Braves, I expected the Braves to run away with everything, and let's not forget at one point they were 18-6.
Yeah, things happen, and that prevented it from happening. Right. But it's tough for me to look at the Falcons as a surprise team. Like, I don't think the Falcons are sneaking up. When you say a surprise team, it's somebody that sneaks up on you. Like, last year, the Texans were a surprise football team because you had a rookie quarterback, and they snuck up on people early and like, oh, man, and then now they have all the expectations. Like, that was a surprise team last year. I don't see the Falcons coming and sneaking up anybody.
Okay, then at what level, all right, then let me rephrase the question. At what level would you consider the Falcons to actually be a surprise? Would it take the Falcons to be, say, the number two seed in the NFC? Would it take that kind of a rise?
A home field, a first round bye, and home field almost throughout the playoffs. That would be the surprise. Because they'd be like, oh, we knew they were good. We didn't know they were that good. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's fair enough. You know, it's not a question of thinking that, okay, they're good, but then you come out and, oh, they're that good. Like, for example, the 2016 Falcons, 28-3 and all that was sort of a surprise team because they were 8-8 the year before, and at one point in that season they were 7-5, and then they just got wicked hot until 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. But anyway, so by the time they got to the Super Bowl, you know, people were like, oh, I don't think we realized that these guys were this good. You know, and the way they tore through the playoffs, you know, taking out, you know, Seattle and Green Bay and whatnot. I mean, they just tore through it. It wasn't like close. And they went, oh, these guys are really good. Yeah, they are really good. So, yeah, okay, that's fair enough. The question is, at what level do the Falcons become a surprise team? And the level is like 12 wins at a minimum and a bye. You know, I mean, sure. And then all of a sudden, and not just 12 wins, but because like a couple of years back, Kirk Cousins was on a Minnesota team just a couple of years ago that won 13 games in the regular season. They went 13-4. But I kept saying the whole time going, I'm not buying this Minnesota team because they went on that in that year, Orrin, I think they went something like, you'd have to go back and look. But they went like 9-1 in one score games. You know what I mean? They were just winning everything by 3 points. And I'm talking about the Falcons winning 12 and in a number of games running away with the game, winning by 17, winning by 21. You know, they win 38-17. They win, you know, 31-10, you know, and they're like, okay, I'm not talking about win. I would take a 23-21 win. Don't get me wrong. But when you're out there dominating on the field and kicking everybody's butt is a different story. So maybe it's going to take the Falcons to be a surprise team. They'd have not only have to win 12 games, but they have to do so in impressive 12 or 13 in impressive fashion. And one of the ways they could be kind of a surprise team would be in those first 3 weeks, because they do play the Steelers. Then they play a primetime game in Philadelphia on a Monday night. And then they turn around and play the primetime Sunday night game at home against Kansas City. So they are going to have this national platform to roll this team out for Raheem Morris.
Being 2-1 after those first 3 weeks. Yeah, being 2-1 is a surprise.
Yeah. 2-1. If they come out of that 2-1 in any fashion, they're going to be people go, oh, you know what? That's pretty good. You know, I mean, lose to the Steelers and beat the Eagles and Chiefs in national TV, or beat the Steelers and split the other two games, they're going to go, oh, that's pretty good. You know what? And in the loss, they're competitive, right? In the loss, they're competitive, and they just kind of come up a little bit short, but they have some really nice moments in the game, and people go, well, okay. This team, that will be, they can make a mark on the NFL pretty quick. Because I look around the league and I go, okay, I'm looking for, is it a real shock if the Houston Texans end up as the number two seed? Yeah, I guess. Because you got Kansas City there, and everybody assumes that it's going to be, you know, Baltimore and Kansas City 1-2. But things happen. I mean, would I be shocked? No, I wouldn't be shocked. I'd be a little surprised, but I wouldn't be shocked. Everybody presumes that the top two seeds in the NFC are going to be the Lions and Niners again in some form or fashion. But what if it's the Falcons? Now, see the difference? The difference, if Houston gets a top two seed, people will go, yeah, okay. But Orton's right. If the Falcons got a top two seed, whoa, okay, not sure we saw that coming. Because a lot of people are seeing Houston on the come, but they're not necessarily seeing the Falcons on the come. So, yeah, all right, that makes sense. Because I look around the league and saying, you know, it's not a shock if Houston is a number two or three seed in the AFC. That wouldn't be a shock to you, right, Oren?
Oh, absolutely not.
So, in the AFC, who's the surprise team? Could the surprise team be the Jets? Could the Jets be a surprise? I mean, they got quite a bit of talent.
And if Aaron, I don't think, because
what if they win 12 games?
I think the expectation for them last year is slightly less than what it is this year. But the expectation, I think, in both years has been playoffs for the Jets. Now, if they win that division and get a bye, I think there's a bit of a surprise. But there was a reasonable expectation for that team with Aaron Rodgers that they just needed a quarterback, and they got that quarterback.
Good. So, because I look around, I'm just trying to find surprise teams. I mean, could the Arizona Cardinals be a surprise team? I guess.
If they manage to get a wild card, then that would be a
surprise. They got a couple of great receivers, right? I mean, they got a quarterback and a couple of great receivers.
Good tight end?
Yeah, got a good tight end. I mean, that's a team that, you know, out in Phoenix, they're going, I don't think people realize we can win 10 games. Yeah, maybe they could. You know, so, and okay. I think Sean Payton thinks he's going to be a surprise in Denver. I'm like, okay, I know Jim Harbaugh thinks he's going to be a big surprise in L.A. with the Chargers.
Just say, yeah, Harbaugh, the funny thing about, be a surprise team.
Yeah, but the funny thing about the Chargers to me is, and I know the franchise, you know, fairly well, is that, you know, without Keenan Allen, I don't know. I mean, I look at them and I go, see, to me, it's a case where I understand from an economic standpoint, I know Dean Spanos fairly well, and I knew his dad, Alex. I understand why they moved. It makes sense why they moved. At the same time, whatever cachet they had kind of gets lost, because in Los Angeles, they are a non-factor, okay? They were the big walk-and-talking in San Diego, and San Diego's not a small town. It's 3.5, nearly 4 million people, right? And they were even a bigger deal than the Padres. And the Padres had had quite a bit of success, but the Chargers still were the big team in town. They were the San Diego Chargers. And then they go to L.A., and you're not the number one team in town. You're not the number two team. You're not the number three team. You're not the number four team. You're not the number five team. You're barely the number six team. They're barely the number 16. And I'm not even sure that the number six team, and you're an NFL squad, and you can't crack the top five in your own town. Because in that town, the Dodgers are a bigger deal. The Lakers are a bigger deal. The Rams are a bigger deal. And yes, USC football is a bigger deal. How do you know that, John? Oh, I don't know. I lived there and covered all those teams. And so they're like fighting the LA Kings for that, for the, like the sixth spot. Okay? Oh, my goodness. And, you know, so it's going to be interesting to see what the Chargers do this year. But they can't get any traction. See, they lost their fan base. They had no fan base. Even though, here's a fun little wild fact. The L.A. Chargers began as the L.A. Chargers. They played for 1 year. They were an expansion franchise in the American Football League. They were owned by the Hilton family, Baron Hilton, like Paris Hilton's grandpa. And then they moved to San Diego after a year. So they're actually back home. And the Rams didn't start in L.A., but the Chargers did. Weird fact, huh? On Sports Radio 90, time of the game. Well, Chris Sale made a big, big, big mistake tonight. I'm really disappointed in Chris Sale. First time this year I've been really disappointed in him. He didn't throw a no-hitter. See, if he had just thrown a no-hitter, the Braves would have had a chance to win the game. Now, they may still win the game, but it would have been a no-doubter because they scored two whole runs. Man, the Braves have run themselves. Whit Merrifield gets in for his first action, steals second base. Oh, that's great on his first pitch. And then he tries to steal third as a pinch runner and gets thrown out. Then the Braves in the 10th inning, they get a runner over to third, and Laureano then gets picked off of third base. Oh, man. The Braves. But I think this is going to be, to our discussion, Orin, you and I, kind of a fascinating football season that lies ahead. You know, and not only in the NFL, but also in college football, because with this 12-team playoff, one of the things I'm going to dive into a little bit, where did I put that? Oh, this is Lincoln Riley. I want you to tell me if you agree with this, Orin. I'm going to read you something Lincoln Riley said today. He's at the Big Ten Media Day, right? I know, that sounds weird, doesn't it?
A little bit.
Isn't he the head coach at USC? Yeah, yes. Big Ten Media? Oh, yeah, that's right. Lincoln Riley said, it's possible teams may rest players in the regular season if they've locked up a spot in the conference title game and or the playoff. In other words, if we locked up a spot in the conference title game and the playoff, then we may rest guys, all right? You're going to have to be put in possibly some interesting positions. We're going to have to make those decisions. He's not wrong.
He's also not the only coach that said that, too. Dabo said that last week. He's concerned about if at some point during the season where your team loses a couple, do you have guys that just mail it in for the rest of the season, one or two, if you have guys that or your team is getting ready to play in a conference championship game and you know that you've already got – a first-round bye locked in and sealed, and the conference championship is kind of immaterial at that point. Do guys sit out and just rest for a playoff run?
Yeah, so that we're clear, just so we understand the rules here, the top four seeds in the byes, the conference title games matter probably more than they've ever mattered because the top four seeds are the byes go to the conference champions. ACC conference champion, Big 12 conference champion, SEC conference champion, Big Ten conference champion, those are the top four seeds regardless of record, regardless of standing, regardless of anything else, okay? And by the way, and I mentioned this is another thing you need to know if you're a Notre Dame fan, Notre Dame cannot have a top four seed. It's impossible. The best Notre Dame can be is five. But John, what if they're 12-0 and ranked number one? Doesn't matter. They'll still be the fifth seed. Because the top four seeds are locked in to the champions of the ACC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, and the SEC. So those conference title games are going to matter a lot. Because let's say the SEC, let's say that a 12-0 Georgia team is playing an 11-1 Texas team for the second time. And earlier in the year, Georgia had gone to Texas and beaten Texas 27-24. And they both know they're number one and two in the nation. They're going to the playoff. Well, do you want to rest guys? No. Because the best that you could hope for if you lose the game is the number five seed and a home game in the opening round. Because the winner of the game gets a bye. Well, how's that fair? Because if you look at the Big 12 and, I don't know, the Oklahoma State. I'll just pick a team. Oklahoma State's going to win the Big 12. And they're going to be like 10-3. Oh, I don't care. That doesn't matter. They get a bye. I know. That's the way it's going to work. It's going to be different. So, but if you've already locked, his point is, if you've locked up a spot, you get to the final game of the year, USC, UCLA, for example, and USC's already locked up a spot. By the way, that's not going to happen. Okay? But let's just play in some fantasy land that USC is locked into they're 11-0 and they're locked into, it doesn't matter, Ohio State is, you know, can only be the number 2 seed if they beat Michigan, and you know, Oregon can't do anything against, I don't even know, do they play Oregon State this year? I don't know how that works out. Anyway, nobody can catch USC, right? USC is locked in to the conference title game, either as the number 1 or number 2 seed, because the top 2, remember, no divisions this year. So they're locked in going into the final game, doesn't matter. If they win or lose, they're still going to the top conference title game. And they're, yeah, you're resting players. Yeah, I know you're playing UCLA, and it matters, but because it's, you know, the Battle of Los Angeles, but no, you're, Ohio State's the same position. If they're 11-0 going into the Michigan game, and they're locked into that to conference title game, Ohio State's like, yeah, we're chill. Yeah, you. What if you don't beat Michigan? If I'm Ryan Day going, hey, I know you all want to beat Michigan and it's a blood rivalry and everything, but I got to be thinking about winning a national title here. I'm not going to be risking life and limb to beat Michigan here in a game that doesn't count, because it may not count. It might not matter. The same is true for Kirby Smart. Georgia could be 11-0 going into the final game of the year. Are they playing Tech at the end of the year again? Is that going to be the final game again? All right, so they're 11-0 going into Georgia Tech. They may be locked in. They could play Georgia Tech and go, yeah, there's going to be no Carson Beck. Yeah, there's not going to be this guy and that guy and this guy and that guy. I know it's clean old-fashioned hate, but we got to win a conference. We got to win the conference championship game. I'm not about to risk some of those guys. We have to win it to get a bye. So it's going to be different. It's going to be kind of unique. Now, that's the only case and only scenario I could see at the moment where you might consider resting players. There is another case, notwithstanding Notre Dame. If Notre Dame figures they're locked into the playoffs and they're 11-0, they could rest players in their final game because they can't be any higher than number 5. But you're taking them out of the picture here. The other teams, that home game is going to matter a lot, right? I mean, the home game is going to matter a ton. If you don't get a bye, then you got to get the game at home. I mean, if you're Alabama, you can't go, okay, we're not going to make the championship game here, but, you know, we're ranked number 5, but if we beat Auburn, we'll be at the worst number 6 and we'll get a home game. But if you lose to Auburn, you could drop to number 9 and have to go on the road to play, I don't know, at Wisconsin. Yeah, you're going to play like hell to beat Auburn, not only because you want to win the Iron Bowl, but you don't want to have to go on the road in that opening round. So this is going to be so – we're going to get to the final week of the regular season here, and it's going to be fascinating to see how this all plays out. There's another thing, too. This is why it's going to be just such a crazy year. Oren, do you think there's a chance that a star quarterback could make the playoffs, let's say the number 11 seed, right? And they're good, but not great. Let's see if I can find a really good example of that in my mind. Let's say LSU. LSU is going to make the playoff, okay? They're 10-2, but they're not going to get a home seed because you know, they end up being the 10th seed. And all right, so LSU is the 10th seed. They got to go on the road, and they had to play at number 7 Penn State. Is there a chance that Garrett Nussmeier might say, right now I'm a first-round pick. Do I really want to play 4 more games to win a national title?
John, I am so sorry, buddy. I zoned out for a minute. I just saw how the Braves game ended and just kind of lost track of
I was
space
trying not
and
to pay
reason.
To it.
I'm sorry.
I'll I'll get to the Braves here just to finish the show. I think another thing to keep your eye on is, will there be players who, you know, they do the whole bowl, I'm not playing in the bowl game. Will there be players that actually say I'm not playing in the playoff because it's 4 more games?
Glad the mic is
so
off.
So the Braves got walked off. I told you, what did I tell you? Chris Sale let me down. He should have thrown a no-hitter.
I said
dude.
A very dirty word just now. Josh is in the studio with me right now. Josh thought I was talking about what you were saying, and I was like, no, Josh, no. I just saw how the Braves game ended. That's what that profanity just came from.
Well, because they totally botched it again. I mean, Merrifield steals second but gets thrown out stealing third. Loriano gets caught napping. It may have been a suicide squeeze. And then they just botched a play in the outfield.
Loriano just overran.
Loriano. I know.
Overran a ball.
Who botched the play at third, then runs a ball out in the outfield. And Loriano, why is Zach Short on this team? Why is Loriano on this team? Cut these guys. Let's go. By the way, I want you to know, the Mets are now a half game back of the Braves in the wild card. A half game.
Oh, my gosh.
And and understand, in this series here, the Braves have lost five in a row. They've won, it'll be, as of tomorrow, one win in 12 days. The Mets don't care about making the playoffs. They really don't. I've got a good friend of mine who's a dyed-in-the-wool Mets fan. He's like, I don't care if we make the playoffs, because I believe him. I don't care if we make the playoffs as a wild card. What I want is to keep the Braves out. They just want Shaden Freud. They want to keep the Braves out. That's all they want. You know, because they're like, yeah, we're not the greatest team in the world. We just want to keep the Braves out. Chris Sale went out there, threw lights out, and the Braves just totally botched it. A base running mistake by Whit Merrifield. A huge base running mistake by Laureano. Huge defensive mistake by Laureano. Where are these on my team? Why are Zach Schwartz and Laureano, why are they even on my team? This is just bad all the way around. I saw that. I was talking about Garrett Nussmeier. You know, I'm a first-round pick. I'm not going to play in the playoffs, you know, and I saw that, and I was kind of with you. I went, oh, my God. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to tell you about the Braves, except it's no bueno.
Again, they suck first right pitch now, tomorrow. John. That's all you can say about them is that.
One win in 12 days.
They are not a good baseball team right now.
No, they are not a good baseball team.
How do you
they're
make
not even
that
a good
play?
Baseball team. Well, how do you make the – how do you run into – you know, you steal second, and then all of a sudden you decide you're going to take – I don't know if he went on his own, if Merrifield went on his own. And if you're a Laureano, don't you have to make sure – I don't know if it was a suicide squeeze from Kelenic, but don't you have to make sure that he actually bunts the ball? And then you overrun a fly ball and right? You just run right past it? I mean, it's a comedy of errors. I mean, this is like a disaster. But it goes back to what I was talking about at the beginning of the show. So based on this, you know, again, we're now less than 5 days away from the trade deadline. Do you have to go get somebody because you can't live with Laureano and Short? What do you do if you're Alex Anthopoulos? I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
Does it surprise you?
How that game ended?
Yeah.
Kind of?
No, it doesn't surprise me at all. I'm totally prepared for it. I mean, base running error by Merrifield, huge base running error by Laureano. Yeah, error by Laureano. Okay, yeah, that's where they are. So I told you, Chris Sale let me down. He should have thrown a no-hitter, and the Braves would have won the game. Chris Sale's got to be hating life right now. I mean, he's got to be hating life, you know? I don't know. I will say this. If all of a sudden something happened and a switch turned and the Braves did get hot, because there's still 61 games to go, if they did suddenly get hot and Matt Olson pretended he was a professional hitter, for example, and they got hot, it would be a fun kind of, hey, yeah, it would be a really fun end of the season. Because this has been dreariness now for the last 3 months. And it keeps getting, here's the other thing, keeps getting worse. Take the Zach Short pop-up throw on the relay from short right to short left and marry it with Laureano overrunning the ball in right field. Or for that matter, Duvall coming up short and not being able to get to a ball. You miss Ronald Acuna? Yeah, that's what I thought too. You miss Ozzie Albies? Yeah, that's what I thought too. 404-726-0929. I don't really need to give out the number. The show's ending. But now you know the number. Just pencil it down for when we're on again next. My thanks to all of you. My thanks to you as well, Orrin. Sorry about the Braves, but I'll talk to you Saturday morning at 10 right here on Sports Radio 929 The Game. You were picked off on third base. Oh, man. The Braves. But I think this is going to be, to our discussion, Orrin, you and I, kind of a fascinating football season that lies ahead. You know, and not only in the NFL, but also in college football, because with this 12-team playoff, one of the things I'm going to dive into a little bit, where did I put that? Oh, this is Lincoln Riley. I want you to tell me if you agree with this, Orrin. I'm going to read you something Lincoln Riley said today. He's at the Big Ten Media Day, right? I know, that sounds weird, doesn't it?
A little
bit. Isn't he the head coach at USC? Yeah, yes. Big Ten Media Day? Oh, yeah, that's right. Lincoln Riley said, it's possible teams may rest players in the regular season if they've locked up a spot in the conference title game and or the playoff. In other words, if we locked up a spot in the conference title game and the playoff, then we may rest guys, all right? You're going to have to be put in possibly some interesting positions. We're going to have to make those decisions. He's not wrong.
He's also not the only coach that said that, too. Dabo said that last week. He's concerned about if at some point during the season where your team loses a couple, do you have guys that just mail it in for the rest of the season? One or two, if you have guys that or your team is getting ready to play in a conference championship game and you know that you've already got a first-round bye locked in and sealed and the conference championship is kind of immaterial at that point, do guys sit out and just rest for a
potential
playoff run?
So that we're clear, just so we understand the rules here, the top four seeds in the byes, the conference title games matter probably more than they've ever mattered because the top four seeds are the byes go to the conference champions. ACC conference champion, Big 12 conference champion, SEC conference champion, Big 10 conference champion, those are the top four seeds regardless of record, regardless of standing, regardless of anything else, okay? And by the way, and I mentioned this is another thing you need to know if you're a Notre Dame fan, Notre Dame cannot have a top four seed. It's impossible. The best Notre Dame can be is five. But, John, what if they're 12-0 and ranked number one? Doesn't matter. They'll still be the fifth seed. Because the top four seeds are locked in to the champions of the ACC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, and the SEC. So those conference title games are going to matter a lot. Because let's say the SEC. Let's say that a 12-0 Georgia team is playing an 11-1 Texas team for the second time. And earlier in the year, Georgia had gone to Texas and beaten Texas 27-24. And they both know they're number one and two in the nation. They're going to the playoff. Well, do you want to rest guys? No. Because the best that you could hope for if you lose the game is the number five seed and a home game in the opening round. Because the winner of the game gets a bye. Well, how's that fair? Because if you look at the Big 12 and, I don't know, the Oklahoma State. I'll just pick a team. Oklahoma State's going to win the Big 12. And they're going to be like 10-3. Oh, I don't care. That doesn't matter. They get a bye. I know. That's the way it's going to work. It's going to be different. So, but if you've already locked, his point is, if you've locked up a spot, you get to the final game of the year, USC-UCLA, for example, and USC's already locked up a spot. By the way, that's not going to happen, okay? But let's just play in some fantasy land that USC is locked into they're 11-0 and they're locked into, it doesn't matter, Ohio State can only be the number two seed if they beat Michigan, and Oregon can't do anything against, they play Oregon State this year, I don't know how that works out. Anyway, nobody can catch USC, right? USC is locked in to the conference title game, either as the number one or number two seed, because the top two, remember, no divisions this year. So they're locked in going into the final game, doesn't matter. If they win or lose, they're still going to the top conference title game. And they're, yeah, you're resting players. Yeah, I know you're playing UCLA, and it matters, but because it's, the Battle of Los Angeles, but no, you're Ohio State's the same position. If they're 11-0 going into the Michigan game and they're locked into that to conference title game, Ohio State's like, yeah, we're chill. Yeah, what if you don't beat Michigan? If I'm Ryan Day going, hey, I know you all want to beat Michigan and it's a blood rivalry and everything, but I got to be thinking about winning a national title here. I'm not going to be risking life and limb to beat Michigan here in a game that doesn't count because it may not count. It might not matter. The same is true for Kirby Smart. Georgia could be 11-0 going into the final game of the year. Are they playing Tech at the end of the year again? Is that going to be the final game again? All right, so they're 11-0 going into Georgia Tech. They may be locked in. They could play Georgia Tech and go, yeah, there's going to be no Carson Beck. Yeah, there's not going to be this guy and that guy and this guy and that guy. I know it's clean old-fashioned hate, but we got to win a conference. We got to win the conference championship game. I'm not about to risk some of those guys. We have to win it to get a bye. So it's going to be different. It's going to be kind of unique. Now, that's the only case and only scenario I could see at the moment where you might consider resting players. There is another case, notwithstanding Notre Dame. If Notre Dame figures they're locked into the playoffs and they're 11-0, they could rest players in their final game because they can't be any higher than number five. But you're taking them out of the picture here. The other teams, that home game is going to matter a lot, right? I mean, the home game is going to matter a ton. If you don't get a bye, then you got to get the game at home. I mean, if you're Alabama, you can't go, okay, we're not going to make the championship game here, but, you know, we're ranked number 5, but if we beat Auburn, we'll be at the worst number 6 and we'll get a home game. But if you lose to Auburn, you could drop to number 9 and have to go on the road to play, I don't know, at Wisconsin. Yeah, you're going to play like hell to beat Auburn, not only because you want to win the Iron Bowl, but you don't want to have to go on the road in that opening round. So this is going to be so – we're going to get to the final week of the regular season here, and it's going to be fascinating to see how this all plays out. There's another thing, too. This is why it's going to be just such a crazy year. Oren, do you think there's a chance that a star quarterback could make the playoffs, let's say the number 11 seed, right? And they're good, but not great. Let's see if I can find a really good example of that in my mind. Let's say LSU. LSU is going to make the playoff, okay? They're 10-2, but they're not going to get a home seed because you know, they end up being the 10th seed. And then, and all right, so LSU is the 10th seed. They got to go on the road, and they had to play at number 7 Penn State. Is there a chance that Garrett Nussmeier might say, right now I'm a first-round pick. Do I really want to play 4 more games to win a national title?
John, I am so sorry, buddy. I zoned out for a minute. I just saw how the Braves game ended and just kind of lost track of
I was
space
trying not
and reason. I'm sorry.
I'll get to the Braves here just to finish the show. I think another thing to keep your eye on is, will there be players who, you know, they do the whole bowl, I'm not playing in the bowl game. Will there be players that actually say I'm not playing in the playoff because it's 4 more games?
Glad the mic is
so
off.
So the Braves got walked off. I told you, what did I tell you? Chris Sale let me down. He should have thrown a no-hitter.
Said a very dirty word just now. Josh is in the studio with me right now. Josh thought I was talking about what you were saying, and I was like, no, Josh, no. I just saw how the Braves game ended. That's what that profanity just came from.
Well, because they totally botched it again. I mean, Merrifield steals second but gets thrown out stealing third. Loriana gets caught napping. It may have been a suicide squeeze. And then they just botched a play in the outfield.
Loriana just overran.
Loriano, I know.
Overran a ball.
Who botched the play at third, then overran, runs a ball out in the outfield. And Loriano, why is Zach Short on this team? Why is Loriano on this team? Cut these guys. Let's go. By the way, I want you to know, the Mets are now a half game back of the Braves in the wild card. A half game.
Oh, my gosh.
And and understand, in this series here, the Braves have lost 5 in a row. They've won, it'll be, as of tomorrow, 1 win in 12 days. The Mets don't care about making the playoffs. They really don't. I've got a good friend of mine who's a dyed-in-the-wool Mets fan. He's like, I don't care if we make the playoffs, because I believe him. I don't care if we make the playoffs as a wild card. What I want is to keep the Braves out. They just want schadenfreude. They want to keep the Braves out. That's all they want, you know, because they're like, yeah, we're not the greatest team in the world. We just want to keep the Braves out. Chris Sale went out there, threw lights out, and the Braves just totally botched it. A base running mistake by Whit Merrifield, a huge base running mistake by Loriano, huge defensive mistake by Loriano. Where are these on my team? Why are Zach Shorts and Loriano, why are they even on my team? This is just bad all the way around. I saw that. I was talking about Garrett Nussmeier. You know, I'm a first-round pick. I'm not going to play in the playoffs, you know, and I saw that. I was kind of with you. I went, oh, my God. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to tell you about the Braves, except it's no bueno. Again, bye first
right
pitch
now,
tomorrow.
John. That's all you can say about them is that.
1 win in 12 days.
They are not a good baseball team right now.
No, they are not a good baseball team.
How do you
They're
make
not even
play?
A good baseball team. Well, how do you make the – How do you run into, you know, you steal second, and then all of a sudden you decide you're going to take, I don't know if he went on his own, if Merrifield went on his own. And if you're a Loriano, don't you have to make sure, I don't know if it was a suicide squeeze from Kelenic, but don't you have to make sure that he actually bounced the ball? And then you overrun a fly ball and right? You just run right past it? I mean, it's a comedy of errors. I mean, this is like a disaster. But it goes back to what I was talking about at the beginning of the show. So based on this, you know, again, we're now less than 5 days away from the trade deadline. Do you have to go get somebody because you can't live with Loriano and Short? What do you do if you're Alex Anthopoulos? I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
Does it surprise you?
How that game ended?
Yeah.
Kind of?
No, it doesn't surprise me at all. I'm totally prepared for it. I mean, they again, base running error by Merrifield, huge base running error by Laureano. Yeah, error by Laureano. Okay, yeah, that's where they are. So I told you, Chris Sale let me down. He should have thrown a no-hitter, and the Braves would have won the game. Chris Sale's got to be hating life right now. I mean, he's got to be hating life. You know? I don't know. I will say this. If all of a sudden something happened and a switch turned and the Braves did get hot, because there's still 61 games to go, if they did suddenly get hot and Matt Olson pretended he was a professional hitter, for example, and they got hot, it would be a fun kind of, hey, yeah, it would be a really fun end of the season, because this has been dreariness now for the last 3 months. And it keeps getting, here's the other thing, keeps getting worse. Take the Zach Short pop-up throw on the relay from short right to short left and marry it with Laureano overrunning the ball in right field. Or for that matter, Duvall coming up short and not being able to get to a ball. You miss Ronald Acuna? Yeah, that's what I thought too. You miss Ozzy Albies? Yeah, that's what I thought too. 404-726-0929. I don't really need to give out the number where the show's ending, but now you know the number. Just pencil it down for when we're on again next. My thanks to all of you. My thanks to you as well, Orin. Sorry about the Braves, but I'll talk to you Saturday morning at 10 right here on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.